Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you for opening our understanding concerning the things that are coming. And we thank you so much, Father, for your mercy and your grace towards your people that you're about to bring them out of captivity, Lord. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Well, we've called this series Cyrus at the Red Sea, which is rather strange since Cyrus didn't live for 1,000 years after the Red Sea. But it's very important that Isaiah prophesied the coming things to the Israelites in Babylonish captivity using the parable of the Red Sea. And also, we've seen in our prophecies today of a parable of the Red Sea for the faction and for the government that is just as crazy. And so I'm going to start back in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward and lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go into the midst of the sea on dry ground. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. I believe he's doing that today. And they shall go in after them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, and upon his chariots, and upon his horses. And the Egyptians shall know. Now, look, it's not the Israelites. It's the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And by the way, when they went into the sea and God hardened their hearts to follow in after the Israelites, it says in verse 28, there remained not so much as one of them. The Israelites' enemies were taken out. Okay, we recently received this text in Psalm 106. Let me read it to you. Well, first verse 7 says, Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy loving kindnesses. Well, they didn't understand them because these things that happened unto them are for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And so they were really written to us. They were parables and written to us. Isaiah prophesied using the Egyptian deliverance to show us about our deliverance from captivity here on this end. Verse 8, Nevertheless he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He wants the world to see his power to deliver. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. He led them through the depths. Now, he uses this word a lot concerning the situation at the Dead Sea, the depths, as through a wilderness. He led them through the depths as through a wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of them that hated them. Same situation at the Babylonian captivity. Same situation with our time now. There are a lot of hatred out there against the Christians and against Cyrus, who is Trump. And so let me read on here. He redeemed them from the hand of the enemy, and the waters covered their adversaries. The waters represents a destruction to the enemy. This is not necessarily the death of all these people. It's talking about the demon spirits that are moving through the far left and the Satanists and the factious in the government and so on and so forth, and the factious against the church, and the apostate leadership that's against the church, believe it or not. And the waters covered their adversaries, and there was not one of them left. Well, that's the same thing that he said in Exodus 14:28. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words, and they sang his praises. Oh, yes, they had a party on the other side of the Red Sea. And so from there, I'm going to go back and cover, well, I'm going to look at Jeremiah, which we've looked at before, but very, very briefly, and I want to go in a little different direction there. Jeremiah 49 speaks of this prophecy of a destruction of Edom. Now, we know who the type of Babylon is. It's this Babylonish government, this Babylonish beast that's over and kept captive the people of God, especially as it was under Obama, okay? And we also know who the Edomites are. These are the children of Abraham, who hated their brother. They were the children of Esau. They bore the fruit of Esau, the bitterness of Esau, the anger of Esau against Israel. And for that, they lost their birthright as children of Abraham. And he is speaking of the Edomites, of the faction of our day. We've seen it's a parallel between the man-child and Trump, and also the faction that's against Trump and the faction that's against the man-child. There's a perfect parallel there. So when he speaks of Edom, he's speaking of the faction that is warring against this administration and against the man-child in the church side of the story. And so the Lord's going to bring this down. Two things come down at the Red Sea: Edom and Babylon, because he applies the Red Sea to both of these situations, Edom and Babylon. Okay, I'm going to read let me just read a little bit of verse 7 on. Of Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Well, you can see the Bible says anger resteth in the bosom of a fool. When you see anger, you see a fool. Okay? When you see people angry against others, you see fools. Their wisdom is gone. They are very foolish. They're easy to conquer because they're all very foolish. It's like there's no brains left. Is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? Flee, turn back, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants. He is sending Edom literally, or figuratively, excuse me, to the Red Sea, to the depths, O inhabitants. I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I shall visit him. The Lord visited in Moses to deliver the people of God. His face shone with the glory of the Lord afterwards, you know. And so the same thing was true of Cyrus, and the same thing is true of the man-child. So what we're going to see here is that the Red Sea is a parable that's used of the deliverance of the captivity of Babylon and the deliverance of the captivity to Edom, okay? And there's an earthquake at that time too, okay? Now let's look at 17, a little further down. And Edom shall become an astonishment. Every one that passeth by it shall be astonished. Astonished because of the destruction that God's going to bring. It's going to be like the Red Sea. It's going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah, but in a more spiritual type. And Edom shall become an astonishment. Every one that passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof. Folks, I got to tell you, the faction are receiving plagues as we speak. And we've been at the Red Sea for some time. the Red Sea is that red voting map of all that red that overwhelmed the blue. And it's been doing it ever since. It's an astounding miracle that we're watching. Now, we haven't seen the end of this. I think it's going to be with a bang. There is coming an end to this. And he says, as the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring cities thereof, says the Lord, no man shall dwell there, neither shall any son of man sojourn therein. So we're not talking about a physical people. We're talking about an entity, a demonic entity that has taken over people in our day, that the Lord himself can conquer anytime he wants to. And he's going to bring it down. Behold, you shall come up like a lion from the pride of the Jordan against the strong habitation, for I will suddenly make them run away from it, and whosoever is chosen, him will I appoint over it. And who is like unto me, who will appoint me a time? And who is the shepherd that I will stand, that will stand before me? Well, God called, as we already read earlier in this series, God called Trump to be Cyrus, to be a shepherd. He called him his shepherd. And also the man-child is a parallel. I shared, I think, in our last teaching that there was a parallel and how that the Lord showed us that. And it's certainly been working out just like that. Therefore, hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Edom, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely they shall drag them away, even the little ones of the flock. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate over them. They've been dragged away. They were dragged away by demons. Because they hated their brother, they were dragged away. The earth trembleth at the noise of their fall, the fall of Edom he's talking about, which we've already seen is applying to the depths, the Red Sea, Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a destruction of that entity that has taken many people captive. The earth trembleth at the noise of their fall. There is a cry, the noise whereof is heard in the Red Sea. Well, the Red Sea is a long ways from there, so that's very interesting. Behold, he shall come up and fly as the eagle, and spread out his wings against Bozrah. That's the sheepfold of Edom. That is the sheep of Edom. You might as well call them goats. that is the sheepfold of Edom that he's speaking about. And he's going to come against that as an eagle. And the heart of the mighty men of Edom at that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. At that day, of course, the woman is going to be in her pains because she's going to be bringing forth the man-child. Okay? So now I want to branch out and go in two different directions. First, I'm going to talk to you about Isaiah, what he had to say and what he had to prophesy concerning Babylon, actually, but he uses the story of the Red Sea to do this, which is kind of amazing, because like I said, there's a big difference. So I'm going to Isaiah 62, about the coming of the Lord. Notice we had already seen that he said he was going to visit at the time of the Red Sea. Okay? It's a visitation. He also calls the deliverance from Babylon a visitation. Okay? And verse 11, Isaiah 62, 11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth. See, what he's saying about what was physically happening there is going to also be proclaimed in our time. Okay? Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. He's going to save Zion from her enemies, just like the Red Sea. He's going to save them out of Babylonish captivity. Isaiah prophesied to the Israel in in Babylonish captivity. That's who he prophesied to, and he prophesied of their deliverance. Okay. Again, this was 1,000 years after the deliverance at the Red Sea. So when he talks about the Red Sea, he's not talking to them. They never knew him, and he never knew them. Okay, and he wasn't prophesying to them. He is prophesying at this time into the deliverance of his people in Babylon, and he's prophesying to us of the deliverance of his people in Babylon. That is this corrupt United States as it was under this last regime or regimes, right? Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh, behold, his reward. Notice that the salvation is a him. It is Jesus, right? His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Okay? We've read that before, too. And, you know, his reward is with him. That is for the people who get the deliverance. And his recompense before him, that is the people who have kept them in bondage. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. In other words, God's people are coming out of Babylon and going back to rebuild their city, the real city of Christianity, the heavenly city, Jerusalem. Right? Not the earthly, the heavenly. It must be born again. Right? Who is this that cometh up from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. It's the Lord. And his garments are stained with the blood of the Edomites, who have constantly come against God's people, just as they do today. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, that thy garments like, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine vat? I have trodden the winepress alone. You'll see this in the book of Revelation, too, at the Battle of Armageddon, right? And of the peoples there was no man with me, and I trod them in mine anger, and trampled them in my wrath. Their life blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my raiment. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Okay, so we also have a day of the Lord at the end of the tribulation period, called the day of the Lord, but we're seeing one here before the tribulation period, which is going to bring down the Egyptians, the Babylonians, that have kept God's people in captivity so that they can go into the wilderness free, right? They celebrated on the other side of the Red Sea because they were free. They had been slaves, and they were free. Think about the freedom that is going to come by the end of this Red Sea experience. It's a great freedom. Okay, let's go to 63:11. And he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Of course, he's talking about Cyrus this time. Of course, he's talking about the man-child, not the man-child Moses, but the man-child man-child of our day, right? This time. That parallel is coming now. That caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses. Okay, you can see the men he is using now as a parallel, and also the arm of the Lord is going to strengthen these men to do this job, just as he says right here. That divided the waters before them. Well, well, what waters are we talking about here? He's using the Red Sea as a destruction upon the enemy so that God's people can go through the midst and be delivered. To make himself an everlasting name. Same thing he said back in Exodus. He wants to show the world his power to save his people. just as the people of the nations were bragging on his people going through the Red Sea and what happened there, how they feared the Israelites, and so on and so forth, God wants to do the same thing now. That led them through the depths as a horse in the wilderness, so that they stumbled not. As the cattle that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused them to rest. So did thou lead them, lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. All right. Who is he talking about? Well, if you look in verse 16, he says, "For thou art our father, though Abraham knoweth us not, and Israel doth not acknowledge us." So, wait a minute, we're not talking about Israel anymore now. Now we're talking about, in our day, the church in the wilderness is the Gentile church, and all the Israelites that are gathered there. Some are not, many are not yet, and they won't come until later on in the tribulation period. But at any rate, now he's talking about Gentiles. In fact, in 65 and 1, he says, "I'm inquired of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me to, unto a nation that was not called by my name." All right. Praise God. So if, now you can see that this parallel comes all the way down to our day in the New Testament, right? And let's go down to 64 and 1. "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, and that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might quake." Well, there's the earthquake again, right? The earthquake at the time of this parting of the Red Sea, of God's people being delivered from captivity, right? "As when fire kindleth the brushwood, and the fire causes the water to boil, to make thy name known." Now, once again, he's applying the deliverance at the Red Sea to the deliverance of Babylon. This is talking about Babylon. Isaiah prophesied to the saints in Babylon, right? To thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence." So it's the presence of the Lord. The Lord is coming. He's coming with his anointing upon, according to Isaiah 44, upon Cyrus, who is Trump, and upon the man-child. "Then thou didst terrible things which we look not for, that thou camest down. The mountains quaked at thy presence. For from of old men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen a God besides thee, who worketh for him that waiteth for him." Well, now, we can see that Edom falls at this time. And we can see that that he's also applying this to the Red Sea. But he also does the same thing to Babylon. And we'll look at that too. So, you know, Isaiah 63 and 1. He's talking about the destruction of Edom here. And he applies it to the dividing the waters in 63 and 12. He also makes an earthquake happen here, which we know in our day is going to happen too. Mighty earthquakes. And now, also, we have to remember that God says the same thing about Babylon. Now, Babylon is that entity of the beast in this country that rules over this country and rules over the Christians in this country, just like Babylon did in that day. And Edom, of course, is those that who are just like the Ishmaelites and the Edomites, that Edom, which is the faction in our day, who is expressing their demands and their foolishness, because basically the demons have come on them and they become foolish. They're full of hatred and criticism and so on and so forth. So, you know, the spirit of love in 1 Corinthians 13 is the spirit of our God. He is love. And they are the opposite of that, just as much as the opposite of the Israelites over there in the Middle East is the Edomites and the Ishmaelites around them. They're the opposite of each other, right? So I'm going to go from here to Isaiah 42 and share with you the Babylonian side of this, okay? Let's look at from 6 on down, okay? Isaiah 42. Okay, now remember what I said. That in 487 B.C., the Jews were delivered from Babylonish captivity. But Isaiah here speaks to that Babylonish captivity as though it was something very ancient. I mean, Cyrus, the Exodus was 1466 B.C., and Cyrus' deliverance was in 487 B.C. So they really had nothing to do with each other. And so when Isaiah speaks to the Babylonish captivity concerning the Exodus, he's telling them how it's going to happen. And since we are now in Babylon, the great eagle, he comes against them as an eagle, right? Since we are now in Babylon, this prophecy is now to us. Okay, the Gentiles, as we just saw. So remember that. So Cyrus delivers from Babylon. Okay, look at 42. Well, let me point out to you in the context, just very briefly, that it is Cyrus that he's talking about, which would identify Babylon and not Egypt, obviously. If we could look at 41, in verse 2, who hath raised up one from the east, whom he called in righteousness to his foot. He giveth nations before him and maketh him rule over kings. And that was Cyrus. And then again down in 25, I have raised up one from the north, because Cyrus came from the north and the east. His armies did. And he is come from the rising of the sun, one that calleth upon my name, and he shall come upon rulers as upon mortar, and upon and as the potter treadeth the clay. Who hath declared it? From the beginning. Again, he's speaking to us. From the beginning, that we may know, before time, that we may say he is right. So God's telling us ahead of time what is going to happen. And he was telling them ahead of time what was going to happen by using Egypt as an example, the Red Sea as an example. Okay, so Isaiah 42 and 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. I will hold thy hand, and I will keep thee, and I will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open blind eyes and to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. He's talking about the Israelites in Babylonish captivity. And he uses the deliverance from Egyptian captivity as a type and a shadow, speaking to them. He's saying, look, the former things are now coming to pass. Okay, now we can say it. The former things, in other words, what happened to Babylon, are coming to pass. Okay? We're just doing exactly what Isaiah did, right? To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise unto graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. The former things, as he talks about in this text and quite a few texts, is what happened in Egypt, are coming to pass again. Okay? And we can say the same thing. The former things are come to pass, right? New things do I declare. They're new for us, but they're not new as far as history is concerned, you see? because they've already happened. The things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. Okay? Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Amen. He was using the parable of Egypt and the Exodus to tell them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the ends of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, villages, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitant of Selah sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord will go forth as a mighty man. Again, we see who the mighty man is that he speaks of several times through these chapters from 40 through, I think, 49. And that is Cyrus and also the man-child. He will go forth as a mighty man. He will stir up his zeal like a man of war. He will cry, yea, he will shout aloud. He will do mightily against his enemies. This is what we're looking forward to here, saints. He said, I have a long time holding my peace, and I have been still and refrained myself. Yes, and many people are crying about that. Lord, why don't you save? Why don't you deliver? Why don't you do the mighty miracles for us that you have done for them? He's saying that he's going to do this. Now, blessed are the people that wait for the Lord, right? Now will I cry out like a travailing woman. Okay, praise God. Well, we know what the travailing woman is. That's the time of the birthing of the man-child. I will gasp and pant together. I will lay waste mountain and hills and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands and dry up the pools. That sounds like the Red Sea again, huh? And I will bring the blind by a way that they know not, in paths that they know. What, the church is so blind today. They know nothing about what's coming. The major part of them think they're going to fly away. The rest of them don't even believe there's such a thing. But they have no idea what's coming. And then there's preterists who think everything's in the past. They don't know about the repetition of history. So, I mean, there's such a, well, down in 22. But this is a people robbed and plundered, and they are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth this. Again, we cry, you know, deliver your people, Lord, out of Egypt, out of Babylon, out of Edom, for a spoil, and none saith restore. Interesting, huh? Okay. Let's go to 43, Isaiah 43. Again, Isaiah speaking about the deliverance from captivity of Babylon back around 487 by Cyrus, and yet he is using Red Sea terms to speak about it. 43 and 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. He is speaking to a people today, too, because we're right where he's talking about right here. When thou passest through the waters, talking about those being delivered of Babylonish captivity through the hand of Cyrus, the Medo-Persian, who came and conquered Babylon and set them free. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior, and I have given Egypt as thy ransom. That didn't make a bit of sense to them, except they understood that he was speaking a parable. He gave the Egyptians as a ransom, as a price that must be paid to set the captives free. That's what a ransom is, right? I have given Egypt as thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in thy stead. Since thou hast been precious in my sight, honorable, and I have lovely, therefore will I give men in thy stead, and peoples instead of thy life. And I will bring thy seed from the east and gather them from the west. And he goes on to talk about this great revival. This awesome revival, right? Well, let me just read that part. Verse 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. And I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back, bring my sons from far. Where are they going? They're going to their promised land. They're going to live on the promises of God. And my daughters from the ends of the earth, every one that is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, yea, whom I have made. And most of the people he's talking to today don't even know it yet. That's okay. That's okay. They're going to find out. I mean, they've got to be set free from religious captivity, Babylonish religious captivity, and from the faction, and from the beast captivity of Babylon, right? The two types that we're pointing out here. So now I'm going to look at 14. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake have I sent to Babylon. Aha, so they're in Babylon, but he's preaching to them about Egypt, right? And I will bring down all of them as fugitives, even the Chaldeans in the ships of their rejoicing. Well, he's going to do it, folks. We can see who the Babylonians are. We can see who Cyrus's army is. And we can see that they're going down. And we're not there yet. Somewhere about the time when the man-child comes, maybe even the sign in the heavens on September the 23rd could be pointing to that. Okay? As fugitives, even the Chaldeans and the ships of their rejoicing. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, who maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Okay, saints, that was to destroy Pharaoh and his army. Now we see Pharaoh Obama and his army going down. And they're going to continue to go down. And also those people in Washington who have supported them. And all these people who are demon-possessed. Who bringeth forth the chariot and the horse and the army and the mighty man. They lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as a wick. So don't worry about them, folks. Your prayers are bringing it to pass. You, as you pray against this corrupt regime that's on its way out and the new regime that is coming in, you know, God is doing it. You keep praying, you keep believing, and it will be done. You have foundation to believe this. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I'll do a new thing. Well, there it is. That's right. He is going to do a new thing. It's new to us, but not new to them. He's pointing that out. Now shall it spring forth. Shall you not know it? I'll even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Well, we know what that's talking about. That's new to us, but not new to them, right? He's pointing out from history what he's going to do. And even on into the wilderness, he speaks, the beasts of the field shall honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness. That's in the tribulation that's just ahead, right? God's going to provide for his people miraculously out of heaven. Amen? So, what we see is a mighty deliverance of God's people just ahead. We're still in the process of this Red Sea, okay, where God's going to take down the enemies. And that's not going to be without the wilderness that's coming. We're not talking about peace, prosperity of the world. We're talking about peace and prosperity of the kingdom people. And I'm not talking about money. I mean, God is going to give us all the money we need to do whatever we need to do. But I believe that that's just easing our way into the wilderness. God's people can't imagine going into a wilderness without the support of Uncle Scam. They can't imagine that. Well, God can ease their way out there. God is weak to the weak. He can ease their way out there. He's going to provide everything that's necessary. Who did he provide for in the time of Jesus? How did he provide for those people who went into the wilderness in the time of Jesus? Well, the man-child was out there to multiply the fishes and the loaves. Right? And Jesus was their provision out there. Who's going to feed these people? His disciples said. He said, you do it. What? Well, exactly. You know, that's where people, God's people are today. They don't know exactly how God is going to do this thing, but he's going to do it. And the deliverance is going to be magnificent. And the it is going to impress the nations, the Egyptians, right? God is going to impress the Egyptians. So we see that the Red Sea is going to take down all of the enemies of God's people, both the beast government entity, like it was with Pharaoh and his regime. He brought that down. We see that he's going to bring down the Edomites because he applied them to this Red Sea destruction. The Babylonians in our day, which applies to this government that is on its way out. The deep state and all the corruption that goes with it. Those demon-possessed people who gave in to Satanism. And now they've lost their mind. And now they want war. Remember, the very opposite of the Prince of Peace is Satan. Satan wants war between the United States and Russia. I say it's not this war, this world war is not going to happen probably until after the man-child comes as the second seal. Okay? And I remember Amos Skaggs sent me a revelation about a bomb coming from the east that entered into a 7-point, which he believes is 7 years, and went all the way to the middle of the 7 years, but then it turned around and came back from its origin in the east. A war, I believe, a war. They tried to start a war that would have been from now. Now, I'm not talking about what's going on in Korea. I believe we still have something coming there. But we can see that they tried to start a war with Russia. This is madmen. These are madmen. They're just insane. That demonic activity has taken them over, just like the faction. The factions want so bad to kill the saints of God, because, and I'm talking about spiritually kill them. And this faction in the government, they so badly want to, they hate America so much, America as it is so much, and they want to bring down America and Russia because they hate Russia. Well, we shouldn't hate Russia, you know, that's crazy. I mean, world war is madness. I mean, how many millions would die in a nuclear world war? So let's just let that come when it comes. But right now, it seems to have been put off. And I think that's the prayers of the saints that are doing that. But eventually, I believe we're coming to the end of this Red Sea experience somewhere around that woman in travail bringing forth a man-child. So that's not very far off. Or at least the sign is not very far off. The sign of its coming is not very far off. And I don't believe that the happening is very far off either. It could happen on the sign. September the 23rd is the sign of the birthing of the man-child. And is catching up to the throne shortly thereafter. And the catching up to the throne, of course, is the dominion that he has for the Lord, to rule for the Lord. The Lord in him will rule. The Lord in a son of David will rule again, just as he said he would do. And it's going to be judgment against the wicked. And it's going to be a Red Sea judgment against a wicked government that's on its way out is dying, and as it should. Right? The things that they have done in their corruption and in their pride and in destroying the children of America and all these evil things that they have done as far as make a government that controls people. They wanted to control everybody. Just keep on praying, saints, and believe in God. I mean, he's exhorting us in these chapters to be joyful in what the Lord is going to do. Be joyful and rejoice. And the Lord has promised that his people are going to be victorious. He's promised us that victory on the other side of the Red Sea. And, you know, I mean, I know that the world is anxious and worried about that, but just think about your enemies being taken down. We know the Red Sea is a twofold revelation. It's one about physical enemies being taken down, not to death necessarily, but the demons that drive them being taken down, and also a spiritual revelation of the old man. Think about going to the Red Sea, which is just before the tribulation. Think about the old man going down. Have you been wrestling with the old man? Well, of course you have. And you want to see the Lord rule through you. And but the Lord's going to smite the old man there at the Red Sea. He's going to baptize in the Holy Spirit there at the Red Sea. They were all baptized in the cloud and in the sea. There was a putting to death of the old man. That's a baptism in the sea, right? Can you rejoice about that? The old man that you are struggling with right now, as you hold on to your faith, there is a time when God is going to do this thing. Some people are anxious and troubled and worried because God hadn't answered up until now. But the Lord says that those that wait on him will not be put to shame. Wait on the Lord. Continue to fight the battle. In fighting the battle, you are conquering the old man, right? So you can see two wonderful things that are coming in this Red Sea type. It's the destruction of your old man, a baptism of the Spirit that sets the captives free, and a destruction of the enemies that are chasing God's people, wanting to bring them back into bondage, like it was with Pharaoh. God had conquered Pharaoh, and they were all leaving Egypt and so on and so forth, and suddenly God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he went after them because he wanted to take him down. He wanted to show the whole world, the Egyptians and all the nations, his power to take down our enemies, that we don't have anything to fear as long as we abide under him, under the blood covering, right? Oh, praise you, Father. It is so good, Lord, what you are doing and what you're planning. Lord, we accept, of course, from the beginning, from our own baptism in water. Lord, we accept the fact that we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. We died, we were buried, and he is resurrected in us. And now we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. And Lord, we trust in you to bring it to pass. That's our faith. That's what we believe. Yes, we have struggled against the old man and against the flesh and against the Edomites and against the Babylonians, but all of them are going down in the Red Sea. Oh, praise be to God. Then the test will be the wilderness. You know, God's supplying our needs in the wilderness, spiritual and physical. The test will be that now we can make him God. We have had the beast to be our God. Pharaoh himself, his name means the sun god, which it was all around him. All the furniture and everything he had around him identified him as the sun god. And he's a fake son of God who has kept God's people in bondage. That's a parable for our day. There is a fake son of God out there. He's not the Son of God that we see in the Bible. And he has kept God's people in bondage. But their eyes are going to be opened. Oh, praise God. You know, Pharaoh, Obama, you know, I don't know if you've seen all the pictures on the internet of him that looks exactly like Pharaoh. It's very interesting. That obviously God has taken him down. Obviously Hillary would have ruled in his stead and been even worse. And so God has taken them both down. He is bringing an end to him and his number one general there and that regime. Praise be to God. And we just thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We look forward to your wonderful deliverance, Lord. Those that are struggling with sin, with the old man, Lord, know that there is going to come a time when you're going to give them a great deliverance. And not only that, that your people are going to know that you are God, not Pharaoh. You are God. And that only you could have done this thing. Even the world is looking at this and saying, who could do this? Even the Egyptians are getting their eyes opened as to who is the real God. You know, some of them, they were out in the Red Sea when the chariot wheels were took off. And they said, Jehovah fights for Israel. Flee. And they all attempted to flee out of the crack in the Red Sea, which they didn't make it. They found out too late. By the hard head of Pharaoh, they were brought down. But a lot of the Egyptians already knew that. They were trying to placate their God by giving gold and silver into their hands when they were leaving, and they wanted to placate. They didn't like these people. They were just trying to placate their God, that's all. And they knew he was God. They got the revelation he was God. Pharaoh, his heart was hardened. I think he figured it out too, but the Lord hardened his heart to show one more time that he had no power whatsoever over the servants of God or over him. He was a nothing. Well, Father, we thank you. Thank you for your mighty, mighty deliverance for your people. Thank you for encouraging your people today to know the Red Sea is coming, and it's coming quickly. It's happening now, and it's going to come to its end very soon. We thank you, Father, for this. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for loving us enough to show us today these wonderful things that you've said, and especially things through Isaiah and Jeremiah concerning these things that are coming. They spoke the end from the beginning, and we're accepting these wonderful revelations that you're giving us and praising you for the victory that's been given unto us. Oh, praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Thank you so much, Lord. And you say to your people, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the nations shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Is that good or what? And lift up thine eyes round about and see. They all gather themselves together. They come unto thee. Thy sons shall come from far. Thy daughters shall be carried in the arms. Then thou shalt see and be radiant. This is a revival. This is the dry bones revival. In Ezekiel. Then thou shalt see and be radiant. Thy heart shall thrill and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned unto thee. The wealth of the nations shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, and the dromedaries and of Midian and Ephah, all they of Sheba. And the whole story, you know, about the bride and the great provision the Lord has given to them. That's down in 14. And the sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down to the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. This is the heavenly Zion that's coming down from above in Isaiah 60. Amen. And I'll read another little piece to you, verse 20. And the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The little one shall become a thousand. That's a revival. And the small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. And then the next thing you know, Isaiah 61 is preaching the man-child's sermon. Jesus preached it in Luke 4 as the man-child. And once again, it's going to happen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Oh, glory by God. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful, wonderful deliverance that you're promising for your people. And it goes on to talk about to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, which that part was left off last time, but it's in there now. To comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. All right. Thank you so much for joining us today, saints. God bless you and keep you. And rejoice in the Lord. Keep on praising him. Just keep on praising him and thanking him for these things that we see. These are ours. We have to see the end from the beginning. We have to call the things that be not as though they were. We have to do what Jesus said. When you pray, believe you have received, and you shall have it. Amen. All right. Good night. God bless you.